Thank you for tuning in to the She Words podcast. She Words are just myself, Felicia Ramsey, sharing with you what God is speaking to me through me as a woman. She Words are motivational messages on motherhood, marriage, and mentorship. Welcome to today's She Words podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in again to the She Words podcast. This is episode 14, and I am excited about the topic today. It is one that is near and dear to my heart. If you have not listened to any of our other podcasts, this is your first one, I want you to go back and take a listen, especially our last podcast, episode 13. We talked about the need for mentorship, and I want everyone that is under the sound of my voice right now, that if you have not heard that one, go back and take a listen to that one. It is really insightful. We talked about the importance of having a mentor, what mentorship is, why you need a mentor, and I want you to take a listen. Well, my name is Alicia Ramsey, and I'm your host of the She Words podcast. And today's topic, this is the one. This is the one you've been waiting for. I heard you say it. I was listening. Episode 14, Technology and Teens. The mic drops right there. It is summertime. Parenting in the summer. Boy, oh boy, I tell you, not that easy. Because they have more free time on their hands. I'm big on making sure young people stay busy, very, very busy. Idle time is not the best time for them. They have difficulty when their days are not structured. Yes, they need the opportunity to rest and relax, but not too much opportunity. My first year as a principal, I was assigned, I wasn't assigned. I had to interview and go through a process. My first school was a sixth grade center. I had literally 600 sixth graders. Just imagine that. 600 11 and 12 year olds in one building. Now, let me tell you something about sixth graders. You have a majority of your discipline problems in schools, in middle schools, in sixth grade, and then when they go to high school in ninth grade. Because that's that year they're trying to figure things out. They're squirrely. They're really into finding out who they are as individuals. I always call them unique individuals. I worked in a middle school for 14 years. No, 15 years. I'm starting to forget. And the thing I loved the most about them, I called them unique individuals, and they were going through periods of transition, trying to figure out who they are. Think about that. They're trying to figure out who they are. Now, when I worked in a middle school, cell phones were just becoming popular, and they were not allowed to have their cell phones during the school day. And I had so many discipline issues with confiscating cell phones and monitoring cell phones. And social media was just evolving at that time. So fights happening because of something that was posted on social media. It was horrible. Now, it is the norm for them to have phones, for them to have technology. And I am running into many parents like myself who are dealing with how to manage, how to monitor, how to parent a teenager and their technology. And I'm looking at, you know, between the age of 11 and 19, you know, let's say middle school and high school. That's kind of where I'm gearing this today. And I wanted to talk about this because it was a question for Ask Alicia. Speaking of Ask Alicia, if you have a question or you have a concern or you have something you want to talk about, make sure you email us at aramseyconsulting@gmail.com. aramseyconsulting@gmail.com. Or you can reach us on social media. We have a She Words Facebook page, Lady Ramsey on Instagram, and Lady Ramsey on Twitter. Ask Alicia. So what I decided to do, instead of one question, I took an entire conversation and created this Ask Alicia. Within the past 6 months, I've had 3 conversations with parents that were concerned about their children and technology. Their child not using technology appropriately. I hear you. You're talking out loud. You're responding to me. You're having a conversation with this podcast in your car, on your job, in your house. You may be raising your grandchildren. You may have your grandchildren for the summer. You may be raising your younger siblings. You may spend time with a niece and nephew and you're battling back and forth about social media. This podcast is for you today. I'm not a child psychologist or psychiatrist. I'm a mother of three. And I have 15 years of experience in public education, combined with 10 years experience in nonprofit. And I've worked in ministry with young people. It's a passion that I have. It's a calling that's on our family, I believe. I have a younger brother who is a principal of a middle school in Silver Springs, Maryland. I have another brother who is a principal of a middle school in Brooklyn, New York. He used to be a principal of a high school. My baby brother, he went into the military. He actually has his PhD. He has that science math mind. And he is actually a parent of two girls. And he is a stepfather of four boys. So we are big into children, young people. And all of us have teenagers. So I'm dealing with teenagers in my family. Dealing with teenagers in my line of work now. And I dealt with teenagers in the past. So this Ask Alicia, Technology and Teens. The question that I'm going to share with you is a combination of several situations that I've been a part of regarding teens and inappropriate messages on their cell phones, on their devices, their iPad, or on their social media platform. So it may be they're using their laptop and going on social media. So you may have taken their cell phone away, but they still have access to social media. Situations with teenagers and social media. Situations with teenagers and their cell phones are prominent all over the world. I know you may feel like you are the only one dealing with the situation, but you are not. You are not. All over the world. All over the world. Open your eyes. We could go anywhere. Are you looking with me? Right now, I'm looking in Brooklyn, New York. There's a parent dealing with a child, not posting the right things. Now I am in Birmingham, Alabama. Same situation. I'm in Miami, Florida. Oh, there she is yelling at her son for posting an inappropriate picture. Oh, here I am now in Phoenix, Arizona. A grandmother just grabbed her daughter's cell phone because her daughter was sexting with her boyfriend. Oh, now here I am in Houston, Texas, and the auntie just grabbed her niece's iPad because her niece is 12 years old and she is watching a rated R movie. Can you believe that? I can. Did you see that? I saw it. It is happening everywhere. So what do you need to do? What do you need to do? This is how I parent. This is what I suggest to others, and I'm also going to give you information that is not just my opinion, but that comes from studying how kids think and how they learn. Once again, if you have questions, please feel free to send them to me at aramseyconsulting@gmail.com or look us up on social media. So what do I need to do if I'm dealing with a situation right now where my teenager is not using their technology appropriately? They're not using their phone appropriately. They're not using their iPad appropriately. They're not using their computer appropriately. All right, here we go. Number one, once you find out what they have done, they may have sent an inappropriate picture, shared an inappropriate picture, text some information that was inappropriate. It may be sexual. It may be violent. It may be a form of bullying. Any way it goes, it is inappropriate in your value system. Don't think every parent thinks the same way. I hear that a lot too. Well, I can't believe that parent didn't do anything, that she was cussing like that, or she was using profanity like that, or that she took those pictures. She had her tongue sticking out. She had this going on. That parent may not see anything wrong with it, but in your value system, it is a problem. So if this text, this picture, this post, whatever they have done, does not align with your value system for the way that you are raising your child, first, you communicate why it is wrong. Because the first they're going to say, well, such and such does it, and such and such does it, and such. Do you hear the child just chattering? Listen. Yep. They keep going. Number one, you communicate why it is wrong. Number two, explain the consequences of their actions in your house and outside of your house. The consequences of their actions may be you lose your device for 2 weeks. Always have a date. Do not make it indefinitely. Always have a date as to how long they use it. I often suggest if they are 15, they may lose it for 15 days. You know, if they're 10, they may lose it for 10 days. But explain the consequences in your house. Then explain the consequences outside of your house. Let them know things like the internet is forever. The picture is out there forever. The text message is out there forever. Well, I deleted it, Dad. I deleted it, Mom. No, the internet still has it. The cloud is real. The person you sent it to may not delete it. So this may follow you. You may be 12 now. You may be 13 now. Then you're 25, you're married, or you're 25 and you apply for this job, and things that you posted when you were 13 can come up. It happens all of the time. So have a conversation, not a yelling match. Have a sit-down conversation about consequences of their actions inside of your house and outside of your house. So number one, communicate why it was wrong, because it does not align up to the moral values that you are teaching in your house. Number two, explain the consequences inside your house and outside of your house. Number three, be consistent. Be consistent. Don't let them use profanity one day and then the next day you yell at them for it. Be consistent. If they're not allowed to use profanity, they're not allowed to use profanity. They can't say it, they can't text it, they can't sing it. They cannot. Be consistent, because young people pick up on if you're consistent or not. Be consistent in the consequence. If you said 15 days, it's 15 days. A lot of times parents get tired because I took away their gaming system. After 5 days, I'm tired of them asking me what can they do. So you give it to them because you don't want to hear them ask for it again, or you don't want to hear them sigh and complain about being bored. No, your 15 days is 15 days. Be consistent. Number four, make the consequence appropriate. Make it appropriate. So if they were using their social media inappropriately, shut down their social media, but don't shut it down indefinitely. You shut it down, say, I'm going to shut your account down for 30 days. After 30 days, you and I will come back together. We will talk to see if we can try it again. They may mess it up a second time. Okay, now I'm going to shut your social media down for 60 days. And I know this seems like a lot of work, but it is a lot of work. Parenting is a lot of work. You're going to get tired. You're going to get exhausted. I get exhausted, but I'm setting the stage for her to be able, for him to be able to function as productive citizens in the world. I want them to be able to handle consequences that come their way. I want them to be able to handle challenges, trials and tribulations that come in life. There are consequences for your actions, and there are processes in life. They need to understand how to evolve to the next stage in life. So I make sure that the consequence is appropriate. So many times I hear parents say, well, you just lose everything. Well, what does that mean? Do they lose their bed? Do they lose water? Do they lose food? Well, what does that mean you lose everything? Well, just bring me all your devices. Well, they didn't handle the phone right, but they can do well with their iPad, or they can do well with the computer. Make sure that the consequence is appropriate. So number one, communicate why it is wrong. Number two, explain the consequences inside your house and outside of your house. Number three, be consistent. That's hard, but you have to do it. And number four, make sure the consequence is appropriate. I'm laughing on the inside. You hear me laughing? Because one young lady said, I'm not going to feed her. I'm not going to feed her. And I said, she has to eat. I mean, your child has to eat. What do you mean? You take away the device, take away these things, because you can't take away food, water, or shelter. Number five, do not be angry with the young person, but be disappointed. Anger causes you to lash out and say things you do not mean. It causes you to use corporal punishment quickly. It causes you to alienate the child, but be disappointed and share with them, I'm disappointed in what you did. This is why I'm disappointed. Use your words. Have a constructive conversation with your child. Use vocabulary that they understand. Do not have the conversation in regards to, well, I was raised like this and I know they have no context there. Keep it here in the 21st century in regards to how you are functioning as the parent and how they are functioning as the child. So do not be angry. If you feel yourself losing control, separate yourself from the child. Tell them to go to their room, or you go outside and take a walk. Or if it's really that bad and you have a resource, say, hey, I need you to go spend the night over grandma's. I need you to go spend the night over your dad's, over your mom's, and I'm going to talk to you tomorrow, to give yourself time to calm down, to give yourself time to process everything that has happened, because it's real. Anger is real. It is a real emotion. But we want you to give your child their consequences because you are disappointed in their actions, not because you're angry at them. And number six, love them through the process as they are maturing. That is called agape love. As Christians, unconditional love. We love our children. We love the young people we are raising because of who we know they're going to become. They are children right now. They are not mature. Even if they look mature, that is a process that takes place through their development. As educators, we learn about Maslow's hierarchy of the needs of human beings. So Abraham Maslow described a hierarchy of needs common to all human beings. And the hierarchy demonstrates the basic needs that must be met before children are able to focus on learning. So there's a psychological element to that. Needs are hunger, thirst, and bodily comfort. So that's why I was saying you can't use that as a consequence, because for their psychological development, they have to have their needs met. Hunger, thirst, and bodily comfort. Safety. Children have to feel secure and free from danger. When you have those conversations with your children at times of why they are using social media or technology inappropriately, there are times in that conversation that you will find out that your child is being bullied or forced into doing those things. They may be forced into sending those pictures, and you may say to yourself, well, no, you can make those choices on your own. You don't have to do that. Well, in their mind and at their maturity level, they want this boy to like them, or they want this girl to feel as if they are, you know, cool, or they are, you know, not a nerd. They want to feel safe at school. And the only way they feel they can feel safe at school is if they participate in these inappropriate things. So you have to find out why they feel that they are unsafe, or why they do not feel they are free from danger. So when we look at the basic needs of learning, they have to have the psychological, they have to have safety, and they have to have a belongingness. This is a part of maturity and learning. This here is a part of development, research development. So you say, well, you don't have to belong. Yes, they do have to belong. We all have to belong. Belongingness is a sense of being comfortable with and connected to others that results from receiving acceptance, respect, and love. We have to receive, as human beings, acceptance, respect, and love. Your children need this. And for some young children, feeling that they belong is not easy. Often they have trouble believing that they are worthy of being loved. As a result, they may exhibit behavior that tests acceptance, or they act out. They attack others or behave in ways that show they deserve to be rejected. So they want to be accepted, but they act out, which causes them to be rejected. That's when it is important for you to understand when I need to seek therapy or counseling for my child, because why are they acting out like this? You know, why am I receiving this from my child? I keep trying to give them positive reinforcement. I keep trying to reach out to them. Maybe there is an issue with them not feeling a sense of belongingness and esteem. Esteem is self-respect and respect of others. Esteem emerges from daily experiences that give children the opportunity to discover that they are competent and capable learners. So when you look at your teens and technology, you have to incorporate that as they are maturing in life, as they are going through this hierarchy of understanding the basic needs of humans, that there's a psychological portion, there's a safety portion, there's a belongingness portion, and there is an esteem portion. And this may seem like a lot for you to process as a parent, but is it important for you to do that? And I need for you to study these types of things. Go on the internet and find out, how does my child learn? Why are they acting this way? Why is it that I'm doing my best to help them to see why they have to use social media the right way, why they have to use technology the right way, why it is important for you not to send these inappropriate text messages? I keep having the same conversation. Maybe there's something that they are lacking in their development. As a parent, you say to yourself, I didn't go to school for that. That's the psychologist's job. That's the teacher's job. That's the curriculum coach's job. That's not my job. it is our job as an individual that is raising children. Erickson has a theory related to emotions and learning, and it is a sequence of issues needed to be resolved for healthy development. So as we are talking about technology and teens, and I shared with you some steps that you can take in order to address the problem, now I'm sharing with you some insight behind how children learn, how they think, how humans learn, and how we develop. There are eight stages of man. There are eight stages of man, and this identifies a sequence of issues. And you can look up the Erickson theory, E-R-I-K-S-O-N, and learn more about how children learn. The stages that children pass through before and during preschool are trust versus mistrust, and autonomy versus shame and doubt, initiative versus guilt. All of these are important for you to learn. Trust versus mistrust. That happens at infancy. Autonomy versus shame and doubt happens ages 1 through 3. Initiative versus guilt happens ages 3 through 5. You study these things in early childhood development, and I personally believe that parents put a lot of investment in learning about their children when they're little. When do they start walking? When do they start talking? You know, when are they going to be able to do this? When are they going to be able to do that? And then when they reach 10 or 11 and 12, it's like we stop trying to learn. We stop trying to find out how they function. And this is when it gets difficult in parenting. I laugh because I'm going through the stage too. I'm right there with you. I'm trying to monitor the best way to help our daughter deal with technology, to help even our child with exceptional needs, how to appropriately monitor his social media. That caused me to go back and look at the different ways that we learn so that I can parent better. Your children are students at home the same way they are students at school. They're learning in life. You have to be patient. You have to understand all of the different hierarchies of learning, how they adapt to things, how they generalize things, their fluency in things, their acquisition of things. You want them to be successful in life. You want them to be productive citizens in life. And it will happen. And it will happen through you being patient. So whether you're a foster mom, an adoptive mom, a single dad, married, you may be a grandmother raising children. Technology and teens, boy, dealing with it is not easy, but you are capable. If you are a Christian, we believe the word of God says we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength. He can give you the strength. He can give you the patience to get through this process of your child developing. But I'm going to reiterate to you how it is important for you to make sure that you address their psychological needs, their need for safety, their need for belongingness, and their need for esteem. We all need those things. This is the hierarchy of needs common to all human beings. Your teenager, this is a stage in life, and technology is a part of this stage. As I close out this podcast, once again, remember, if you have a question, contact us at aramseyconsulting@gmail.com, or you can go to our social media page, SheWorks Facebook page. We also have access to helping you learn more about childhood development. So if you send me a message and you say, I want to learn more about this, or I want to learn more about that, Alicia, I'll do my best to connect you to those resources, because we're all lifelong learners. Communicate with your kids why it was wrong. Please explain the consequences of their actions inside and outside of the house. Be consistent. Make the consequence appropriate. Be disappointed, not angry, and love them through the process. Thank you so much for joining me for this She Words podcast. I look forward to sharing more with you in the future. Technology and teens. Tag someone or send them this episode. Have an amazing week. Thank you for joining me for today's She Words. If you enjoyed our time together, make sure you invite someone to tune in. Remember, God is love, and choose to let that love shine through you today. Have an amazing, make the most of this moment day.